the whole world seems to be offended. Vegetarians are offended. Vegans are offended. I know I said this last year in one of my sermons, but it's still ridiculous. I had to read it again. New York Times article dated 12/4/2018. It states that vegans are now rallying for the removal of meat-based metaphors like bring home the bacon, and they're rallying for it to be replaced with bring home the broccoli. So if you want to start bringing home the broccoli, you go right ahead. I'm going to keep bringing home the bacon. Twitter crowds offended, Facebook crowds offended, Instagram crowds offended. And I don't care what you say anymore, you're going to TikTok somebody off. You know that to be true. It's just going to happen. That's just where we are in our country today. So what do we do about that? Do we just go with it? No. We are called out. We are the ecclesia, the called out ones to show forth the glory of the Lord. We have to be separated from the issues of society and be the body of Christ in this world that we live in today. That is why Matthew says in Matthew 24:10, he said that that's one of the signs of the time. He said, and then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. You know, that's as much of a sign of the time as wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in divers places. One of the signs that Jesus is about to return is that the whole world is easily offended and there's hatred everywhere you turn. That is a part of the body, that is a part of the family of God, or the part of the scripture. So I'm gonna do two more things and then I'm gonna close. All right. So I gotta go back to my verse. First of all, we gotta talk about the cause of this. Why do people get ensnared? Why is there a sin, the sin of offense, that ensnares us? I want to say this very plain. If you carry offense, everything is going to offend you. You're going to read into every room you're in. They're talking about me. They're saying that about me. And they're really not. It's just paranoia in your mind because you have not gotten rid of your offense. And so the cause of this, why do people carry an offense even though they know it's damaging them? Here's the first thing. They have a pain that has not been healed. I just want to say this because Chris Goins is in the house tonight, and Faith and I have been to lots of marriage conferences, but the one you did here this weekend is the best one we've ever been to. It's the best one, and we've been to lots of them. We love marriage, we love family, and so we've gone to lots, and we'll go to lots more, but I've never been to one that good because you dealt with the real issues. You dealt with the pain, and you gave us tools to get out of that pain. As a matter of fact, I'm going to quote you tonight a little bit later on, but I'm not going to give you credit. I'm going to say the Lord showed me this, and then I'm going to tell it the way it is. If you're at the marriage conference, you'll recognize. If you weren't, you'll say, boy, that Dr. B is really on tonight. The first reason people carry offense is because they have a pain that's not been healed. They're triggered easily. There's something in their heart that is still hurting because they've never been able to release it. The second reason that people carry offense is because at one time of their life, they've been betrayed by someone they loved. And now they have PTSD, post-traumatic syndrome disorder, which means that every time the enemy wants to shut them down, he shows them that scene. Chris was very vulnerable with us in this marriage conference and actually told us what scene the enemy uses to try to come against him. I've never heard anyone be that transparent. It was an amazing moment because it set a lot of people free. Because you know what I was thinking? I know what my scenes are. And you know what you're thinking right now? You know what your scenes are. There are scenes in your life that are so heartbreaking that when you think about them, if you dwell on them, it shuts you down just like that. And then your mind goes to places it shouldn't go. One of the things you have to do is, well, I'll tell you the cure in a minute. Let's still talk about the cause. The next thing is shame. People that carry offense also carry shame. Shame that they didn't necessarily want. Here's the thing, when you get hurt sometimes, you do things that you're ashamed of, and you realize that you're part of the cause. And you have to admit that at some point in time, I'm ashamed of this. And there is there now for, I'm not a big crier, but I wish I was right now because I would love to cry as I say this to you. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I want you to hear that. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He bore your shame so that you don't have to. I don't care what you did, and I don't care what was done to you. You're not naked anymore. You are covered by the blood, and you are covered by the Lamb, and you are covered by the name of Jesus. We've all probably have regrets in our life. I know that I do. Things, moments I wish I could take back. Don't you just wish you had 10 seconds not to send that email? Don't you wish you had 5 seconds not to engage in that conversation? Don't you wish that there was just one moment that you would have said no instead of yes? I mean, a 2 second point in your life that if you would have said no instead of yes, your whole life would be different. We all have those, but you got to quit thinking about it, and you got to quit living in it, and you've got to quit going back there. That is a graveyard. Go ahead and bury it, put a tombstone on it, and let it die. Don't keep it alive. Don't keep it alive. The more you talk about it, you keep it alive. You've got to let it go.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have 4 ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
The last one is disrespect. I want to do a test tonight. Don't raise your hand if it embarrasses you, but I want everybody that's ever been disrespected to raise your hand. All right. The rest of you need to be the first one to the altar. No, I'm kidding. I think everybody raised their hand. Did you see what just happened, guys? There's not a person here, and there's 10,000 online that are all raising their hands. It's not just you. It's not just you. I'm going to say something that a counselor said to me years ago, a long time ago, actually, and it set me free. I wish he had said it earlier, but he didn't. This is what he said to me. Brian, you know what your problem is? You feel sorry for yourself. And I got so mad when he said that. I thought, sorry, son, I'm about to wad you up and stick you in my pocket because I'm twice your size and I ain't going there. He pushed a button I wasn't ready for because he was right. I had a fence in me that I could not get rid of, and it caused me to wallow in self-pity. And I want to tell everybody that's listening to my voice tonight, self-pity is not your friend. And if you have to tell your story and exaggerate it over and over just to get people to feel sorry for you, you're taking the wrong medicine. That's the wrong drug for you because it never heals, it never stops, and you just got to tell it to 10 more people. And if that's how you're easing your pain, you're going about it the wrong way because you can't get healed that way. Self-pity is not your friend. All right, that's the cause. What are the effects of this? First effect is victim mindset. If you think you are a victim, then you are. If you don't think you are a victim, then you're not. I'm going to say that again. It's the truth. You don't have to have anybody to work that out of you. Now, yeah, you might have to have some issues to get through some processes, but I want to tell you something. The minute you quit thinking you are a victim, you are no longer victimized. But as long as you think you're a victim, you will forever be victimized, and you will read into every conversation, and you'll see things that really doesn't exist, and you're going to make things happen because you don't realize that you're the one that actually made it happen. No one else made it happen. You sabotaged your own self because you were victim. You have victim thinking. So the cause of this is victimization. You still with me? I know I'm usually more of a camp meeting style. Well, not always, but I'm more of a revivalist. Tonight, I am pastor and I am teacher, and I hope it's hitting home tonight. This is what the Lord gave me to say, and I hope it's getting to all of us. Here's the other thing. The cause and effect of carrying offense is paranoia. You get paranoid. You get scared when you don't need to be scared. You start thinking people are saying things when they're not saying any of it. It's just your own mind making it up because you haven't gotten it out of your heart. You start reading into things. Here's the other thing. You start mistreating others and taking advantage of others, and you don't even realize it. I learned something years ago. I'm not going to go into my story, but I'm just going to say there were some things in my life I didn't want to repeat. But because I didn't know how to do it right, and I only knew how to do it wrong, that's the way I did it. I hated it. I didn't want to do it wrong. I just didn't know how to do it right. And I was driving on the road one time, and something caught my attention on the right, and I swerved, and the Holy Spirit said to me, "You will always move toward what you see." And that simple little thing from the Holy Spirit set me free, and I said, then I'm going to start looking at something else. And I started finding mentors. I started reading books. And I mean, I was reading a book a week, one book every week. I did it for years. I would read an entire book every single week on certain subjects because I said, I'm going to set my mind on other things. I'm tired of stinking thinking. I'm tired of thinking about the past. I'm going to put my mind someplace else. I'm going to put my mind on good things, whatsoever is good and lovely, and I'm going to think on those kind of things, and that's a discipline. If you don't know how to do it right, you'll end up doing it wrong because it's the only one you know. So learn it. You have 10,000 teachers. This is my first sermon of the year. You have 10,000. There's no excuse that you can't learn it. Break the habit and learn it. It only takes 30 days to break a habit. You start distrusting everyone. That's another effect. You know where that leads to? You may not want to admit it. You may not want to ever say it loud, but this is the truth. Distrusting people leads to distrusting God. You may not want to ever believe that, but if you really check your spirit, you'll say, because I don't trust anybody or anything, I really have a hard time trusting God. That's an effect of carrying this weight. And finally, well, two more things. There is control. If I can control my circumstances, I can keep myself from getting hurt. So what I'll do is I'll just control everything around me, and then nobody can hurt me because I'm in charge, and you become a bully. It's because there's pain that is not getting rid of. I realize some of this stuff is, I don't know if it's an oh me or an oh yay or God, I hope they're listening, but I hope you're hearing what the Lord is saying. And here's the last thing, and this is probably the worst of all because it's the cancer of the spirit, bitterness. Pursue peace. This is Hebrews 12. We're still in the same chapter, but I'm going down a couple of verses and picking them up. Pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Let's keep going. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this, I want everybody to read the rest of that. And thereby many become defiled. If I let bitterness get inside me, do you know what the Bible actually calls? It's the only time the word cancer is used in the Bible, but the Bible actually calls bitterness cancer. Always, it actually calls it that. And bitterness is the cancer of your soul. It doesn't just stay in one place. It eats everything out. It's trying to kill you because it wants you to always see everything from anyone's perspective but God's.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.